Hey, this is Pastor Eric coming to you once again from my office. Thanks for tuning in to another virtual meditation on the Psalms. If you missed either of the first two, they are right where you found this one. This weekend's Psalm is Psalm 122, the third Song of Ascents, this one ascribed to King David. It likely wasn't written for the pilgrimage to Jerusalem, but became a psalm used for the journey. I'll read the entire psalm and then break it down. My reading and slides are from the English Standard Version. Psalm 122, a Song of Ascents of David. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. There thrones for judgment were set, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Now, verse 1 strikes us immediately in our COVID-19 circumstances. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." We long for the day when we can once again say, "Let us go to the house of the Lord. Let's go to church." We look forward to the governing authorities lifting the stay-at-home orders and allowing larger groups of people to gather. Yet, I also wonder if there is a lesson to be learned. Perhaps the church in America has taken the public gathering for granted. Some see the church gathering as optional when no better option is available. Others attend church but are counting down the minutes until they can do something more appealing after having paid their dues. I pray that this time away from the body of Christ will rejuvenate our spirits when we are able to gather again, that we'll be glad when someone says, "Let's go to the house of the Lord," that we can agree with Psalm 84, verses 1 and 2 of that psalm say, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God." I pray that we will know the blessing of meeting together. I encourage you this week to read the entire Psalm 84 and listen to the song "Better Is One Day" by Matt Redman, which is based off of Psalm 84. Now, in the pilgrimage context of Psalm 122, the pilgrim longs to be in Jerusalem and see the temple. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." In verse 2, the pilgrims have arrived at their destination. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. The pilgrims are now in the city and they can see the temple, the symbol of God's presence, and they rejoice with the other pilgrims. Verses 3 through 5 describe the significance of the city. Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. There thrones for judgment were set, the thrones of the house of David. The people in Jerusalem during one of the major feasts after this pilgrimage would be closely compacted together, the city filled with residents and pilgrims who made the journey. Jerusalem was God's chosen place where he commanded his people to give thanks to and worship him. In Deuteronomy 12, verses 5 and 6, it says, "But you shall seek the place that the Lord your God will choose out of all your tribes to put his name and make his habitation there. There you shall go, and there you shall bring your burnt offerings and your sacrifices, your tithes and the contribution that you present, your vow offerings, your free will offerings, and the firstborn of your herd and of your flock." The offerings and sacrifices were specifically brought to the temple that was in Jerusalem. The pilgrimage to Jerusalem was an act of loyalty. The people were revealing their relationship to the Lord and their kinsmen. We saw that these are the tribes of the Lord that go to Jerusalem to praise his name. And not only was Jerusalem the religious center of God's people, it was also the political center, the thrones of judgment. The thrones of David's house were there. Jerusalem was the epicenter of Jewish life. As such, Jerusalem was supposed to be a place where justice prevailed and peace persisted. In fact, the very name Jerusalem incorporates the idea of peace, and peace will be the theme of David's prayer in verses 6 through 9. Now, related to the justice that was supposed to prevail in Jerusalem, Solomon asked God to give the king of Israel his justice in Psalm 72. Verses 1 and 2 say this: "Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the royal son. May he judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice." In Isaiah chapter 2, Isaiah is given a word about Jerusalem in the future. Verses 4 and 5 say, "He shall judge between the nations, and shall decide disputes for many peoples. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord." In that passage, we see weapons turned into farming tools. There are times of peace, and war is not learned anymore. Now, there are obvious messianic overtone in these verses about the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. Jerusalem is God's established city where God's people go to give thanks, where David's throne is established. In the third section of the psalm, David prays for the peace of Jerusalem. Starting in verse 6, it says, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you." For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. We notice that peace was mentioned three times, one time in verse 6, 7, and 8. David here prays that those who love Jerusalem, the city of God, the city where he dwells, that they will be secure there. In the context of the pilgrimage and the feasts, the city is filled with people giving thanks to God and worshiping him. The brothers and companions that are mentioned are fellow pilgrims, fellow tribesmen, and peace is desired for their sake. The psalm closes with David saying, "For the sake of the house of the Lord, the temple, God's presence, David will seek the welfare of Jerusalem." Because God dwells in the temple, David prays that Jerusalem will prosper. And here's an implication for us today. Because the New Testament church, that's capital C, the universal church, because it exists in Evansville and the surrounding communities, we should seek the welfare of our city. We should seek justice and peace. God spoke similar words through Jeremiah to the Jews in Babylonian exile. Jeremiah 29:7 says, "But seek the welfare of the city," that's Babylon, "where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare." God tells the people that as Babylon prospers, so will they. And so God calls the people to pray for the city. Now, Babylon was a heathen city. It was full of idol worship. It was no godly city, but God was at work there. And he could use his people while they were in captivity there. In our COVID-19 circumstances, how can we, as the church, collectively, but even more so individually as we are socially distant, how can we see justice and peace in our city? And I encourage all of us to pray for those opportunities and then to take the advantage of them when they present themselves. And once the bans are lifted at some time in the future, hopefully sooner rather than later, how will we seek justice and peace in our city? Now this Sunday, April 5th, is what we call Palm Sunday. Providentially, as we reflect on this psalm, pilgrims would be on their way to Jerusalem during this time of the year for the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, I'd like to tell you that I planned it this way, but God worked it out and I just stumbled upon it. Luke 19 describes what we call the triumphal entry, Jesus entering the city of Jerusalem. And I want you to just imagine pilgrims filling Jerusalem at this time. Luke 19:35 says, "And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. As he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.'" We see the disciples are rejoicing and praising God. They're saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." We hear some of those echoes in Psalm 122, rejoicing and gladness at the name of the Lord. Notice also the proclamation of peace in verse 38. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. We see this proclamation is not for peace in Jerusalem, but peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And Luke continues then by writing in verse 39, he says, "And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' But Jesus answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out.'" The stones would praise God and rejoice at the coming of the blessed King in the name of the Lord. But look at what happens next, starting in verse 41. It says, "When he," Jesus, "drew near and saw the city," that's Jerusalem, "he wept over it, saying, 'Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace.'" Notice that idea of peace again, echoing Psalm 122. But Jesus says, "But now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you, because you did not know the time of your visitation." Jerusalem, the holy city, the city of God, the city where he dwelled, his presence was there, would later be destroyed, including the temple, by the Romans in 70 AD. And this was an act of God's judgment, because the people of Jerusalem missed the Messiah's visit. Jesus, the Messiah, who sits on the throne of David, who brings forth justice and peace, was rejected by Jerusalem and its people. If you are not a follower of Jesus, don't miss him, especially in the season of Palm Sunday and Good Friday and Easter Sunday. Jesus was despised and rejected by men, nailed to a cross. But on that cross, he bore our sins in his body. And through faith in him, by his wounds, we have been healed. If you have never put your trust in Jesus, do so today. For all those who do trust in Jesus as their Savior and follow him as their Lord, Scripture tells us a new Jerusalem will be part of the renewed heaven and earth at the consummation. The Apostle John describes this vision given to him in Revelation 21. Verses 10 and 11 say this, "And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, its radiance like a most rare jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. Now the passage goes on to describe the beauty of the city. I encourage you to read all of Revelation 21 this week. But one notable difference in the New Jerusalem, among many differences, is that there is no temple, no building. And the reason for that is given in verse 22. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God the Almighty and the Lamb. The temple is not a building, but it is the Lord and the Lamb, the Lord Jesus. Verse 23 continues, and the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. Here we should recall Isaiah 2, verse 5. Let us walk in the light of the Lord. So as we await the return of Jesus and the consummation of all things, what should we do in the meantime? How should we be living? Well, first, we must trust and follow Jesus, even in challenging times. Again, if you have never given your life to the Lord, if you have never trusted in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sin, I encourage you to do that today. Second, for those who do trust and follow Jesus, we can rejoice when we go to the house of the Lord and give thanks to his name. We can also rejoice in the Lord even when we can't be with other believers. We can rejoice in what God is doing. The Apostle Paul tells us to rejoice in the Lord always. And so we rejoice while we're separated from other believers. And we look forward to that day when we can worship together in the house of the Lord and give thanks to his name. Third, we must seek justice and peace in our city as God's people and point others to him. The Lord dwells among his people in Evansville and the surrounding communities. Let's be the church that he has called us to be. Let us walk in the light of the Lord. I encourage you to pray for opportunities to love your neighbors in these times. Maybe it's a phone call, or maybe it's serving them in some tangible way. But to be the church that God wants us to be and to walk in the light of the Lord. Until we meet again in the house of the Lord or Jesus returns, the Lord be with you. Amen.